around, get around,
I get around,
yeah,
get around, round, round,
I get around,
I get around.
Welcome to Get About with Guide Dogs Victoria. And I suppose you're wondering why you're hearing a different voice opening the program. Well, my name's Arthur Stevens. I'm the producer of this program. And I'd like to introduce, for the very last time on this program, Jackie Stevens. It's true, the program comes to an end tonight.
Yes, that's right. And this is your presenter, Jackie Stevens, with my faithful guide dog, Andres. And for this special program, I'd just like to feature a few aspects of the programs we've done over the years. And it's been over 15 years, so we've got lots of things. But there's a few highlights. One is when I did the Queen's Baton Relay with Guide Dog Andres, and we have the Guard of Honour from the Puppy Raisers from Guide Dogs Victoria.
Yeah, that was a special time for you, Jackie. I remember you well running down High Street Road there with Andres in the middle of the road, something she didn't do very much at all. Now, there was a big event happened back in 2001 when the World Trade Center was attacked, and you managed to get an interview through a little bit of detective work on my part, I must admit, with a guy and his guide dog who were in one of the towers. Tell us a little bit about it.
His name was Michael Hingson, and he had a guide dog, Roselle, and he was caught up in everything that happened at 9/11, and he told us there and then all about the ash falling on his dog, how going down all those stairs, he was patting the fireman on the way up. And we all know what happened was that the World Trade Center, both of the towers, went down. So to talk to him straight after that situation was such a scoop on behalf of Get About with Guide Dogs Victoria.
Let's have a listen.
Now, the building was hit on the north side, so it was hit on the other side from us, and it was hit about 18 floors higher than we were. It was hit about floor 96. So it was hit above us, and the building swayed violently. We were very much afraid that the building was going to tip over.
Did you know at first what had happened, or did you think it was just a big wind or maybe a gas explosion?
Oh, no. We knew it was something. We didn't know whether it was an explosion. We thought possibly something had hit the building. When it eventually settled back down, which took somewhere around 30, 45 seconds, there was a colleague in the building, in the room, who looked out, in my particular office, who looked out and said, there's fire up above us and there is debris raining down, and you could hear it actually falling down outside the window. Even if he hadn't said there was fire, we knew that something had happened and it was necessary to leave the building. So we got our guests out of the office and sent them to the stairs. I called my wife and said there was an explosion or something happened and I'm leaving the building. I'll call you later. We tried to power down equipment just on principle of the fact that maybe we would be able to come back in at some point, and if they came in and sprayed with fire hoses, we tried to turn off power, but that turned out to be a little bit more time-consuming than we wanted it to be, so we didn't do that. So we grabbed a couple of briefcases and left the building and left the office.
Uh-huh.
And Roselle, as soon as the shaking stopped, came out from under the desk, and I went and I grabbed her because I was right near my desk, and so I took her leash, so she was with me the whole time.
And then you set off for the stairs to get down.
And there were other people who were looking to see what stairwell was best to go to. We all went to the stairwell, and we started down from 78, because elevators are turned off. There's no way that you're going to use an elevator to get down.
And at first it wasn't scary, but then how did it continue?
It wasn't scary going down. We didn't know that the second tower had been hit. We didn't feel anything. We smelled a lot of jet fumes. It was a little hard to breathe, but we also didn't feel any heat or anything that told us that we were in any more danger, so we just continued down.
Did it surprise you that people were so controlled on the way down?
No, I kind of thought that they would be. You can't really afford to panic, and there are so many people that were supporting everyone that it was pretty easy to stay controlled. When somebody got nervous, we would stop and we would touch that person, or there were firemen coming up, they would say, is everybody okay? And if there were somebody who looked a little bit distressed, they would help lend comfort.
Yeah, scary stuff indeed. And during your time with Get About with Guide Dogs Victoria, Jackie, you've brushed shoulders with those in power.
So I'm speaking to the Right Honourable David Lunkett, who comes from Sheffield, was born at Jessop's Hospital the same as myself.
Yes, I was. I don't think in the same year, Jackie.
You think... you might be surprised. But I know when we met, you met my guide dog, Andris, and you thought that she was like your first one. You've had five guide dogs?
Five guide dogs. I had a pedigree Labrador who was a wonderful dog and a great character, but not the best guide in the world, partly because of her antics with food. You will have the same problem, I imagine.
Oh, well, with a Labrador. I'm very strict, but I have had stories when you were at the House of Commons, being the Home Secretary, where one of your guide dogs was a bit mischievous.
Well, I've had one or two incidents. One of my dogs was violently sick in the middle of a budget statement by a chancellor called Nigel Lawson, and actually the budget turned out to be a total disaster, so the dog was prescient in that sense.
The dog gave a very, very
the dog gave point. The opinion and the opinion was shared afterwards.
Tell me, David, do you have trouble with taxis in England, because we're doing a little bit of work with that now?
Over the years, many blind people with dogs have had difficulties. It's easier for me because people generally know who I am and they're not going to make a fuss. But there needs to be an understanding. Firstly, if they have a genuine phobia, if someone really has a phobia, we've got a lot of Asian drivers, then they need to say so before the taxi arrives. You know, they need to actually be clear about that. And if they want the dog to sit in the front on your feet rather than hairs getting all over, they should say so. But there should be no question that every blind person has a right with a dog to be able to travel freely. That is basic equality.
And that was David Blunkett, who used to be the Home Secretary of the British government.
And not only have you rubbed shoulders with those in power, you've also rubbed shoulders with plenty of other people from around guide dogs. What have been some of the more fun events that you've been along to?
I think the graduation ceremonies, that's always great to see people venturing out with their guide dogs.
You make trips all the time, such as walking to school or the shops, or getting the tram or the train to work. You jump in your cars to go to special events, or even just to visit the lovely folk out here at Guide Dogs Victoria. You travel interstate to go on holidays or work, and some of you are even lucky enough to travel overseas. And for you, those trips, whether they're the big ones or the small ones, are usually easy, smooth, and available when you want to make them. But many people are responsible for making your trips like that. Everyone from the people that make the footpaths and the roads, to the drivers of the buses and the trams, the people that make the signals like the traffic lights or the air traffic control signals, the people that make the tickets, the people that make the laws of the road, the people that teach you how to get your driver's license, and the people that make the signs like the street signs, the shops, the house numbers, the directional signs, and other information signs for travelling. But as vision impaired people, we need to, want to, and do make those same trips. But for us, it's more difficult. We face different difficulties in traversing the environment outside of our home. As vision impaired people, we face challenges of knowing where we are, finding the place we want to reach, and travelling safely.
And that was Ramona Mandy, and of course it was one of the graduation ceremonies. Jackie, you've been involved in a lot of other events around guide dogs over the years.
Yes, I've loved the open days, and I've loved travelling around going with my trusty microphone, speaking to people who've only just got a guide dog and the difference that it's made to them. And I'd like to thank everybody now for all the contribution that you've made throughout the years. All the staff of Guide Dogs Victoria, John Gosling, Justin, I think everybody knows who they are. It's been a wonderful time for me, and I've loved it all. Thank you to everybody, and at the radio station too, Roberta and Robin, and everybody that's helped make this programme, including you, Arthur Stevens.
Yeah.
It's been a great time, and we've really enjoyed it.
Now, guide dogs are going to continue with this radio station, aren't they?
They are. So you'll hear more, but in a different capacity. So still look to the number 9854 4444 and jump on the website for what's happening at Guide Dogs Victoria.
So I guess that brings the curtain down on 15 and a half years of this programme. Get about with Guide Dogs Victoria, Jackie.
So this is a final goodbye from your presenter, Jackie Stevens, with my faithful guide dog, Andris. So until I see you around the place, catch ya.